We're broadcasting today from Colorado and the Aspen Ideas Festival. We're talking this hour about the challenges of talking about differences. Religion presents another level of complexity, another subject that can lead to fear and misunderstanding, another subject that can sometimes be left as the elephant in the room. Last fall, a debate over a proposed Islamic community center in Lower Manhattan left many people angry and confused. Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf was at the center of that controversy. He was the spiritual leader and public face of the center at that time. He says it was always meant to be a place for community activities that would bring people of all faiths together. Some erroneously called the community center the Ground Zero Mosque, and to them it became an intolerable insult to the families of 9/11 victims and to the United States. Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf joins us here at the Aspen Ideas Festival. We'd like to hear from those of you who've had difficulties talking across differences of religion. Our phone number, 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. You can join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf is the founder of the Cordoba Initiative, and nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Thank you, Neil. Thank you for having me.
And you've spent your entire career trying to bridge interfaith differences. I suspect you've learned a lot this past year.
Yes, I have.
Can you describe some of your lessons?
Well, there are a lot of people who are not interested in the truth. I think I heard Michelle said facts don't count. It's people that have their narratives. And I think that's certainly what happened last year, is that there was a group of people who really didn't care about the facts, didn't care about the truth, and just insisted on their narrative and used it to whip up a lot of negative emotion, which was really sad and at the same time, more importantly, dangerous and not helpful to improve relationships between the United States and the Muslim world, which represents more than 20% of the global population today. It is important that we bridge this difference. The United States and the Muslim world have a lot of mutual interests, geopolitical interests, military interests, economic interests, energy interests, and these are mutual. Both sides want to see a better relationship and need to see a better relationship. And this is why I believe that that the preponderance of effort will militate towards a better relationship. In the meantime, I'm hopeful that that the fears that each side has of the other will be mitigated and addressed. But it will not happen unless we, who want to see a better outcome, play an active role in making this happen.
Was this controversy a teachable moment, or was this a moment after it seemed to spin out of control at which it was better just to, hey, let's be quiet for a little while and wait till this blows over?
Well, everything has a cycle, and the news cycle had its cycle, and we knew this would not last forever, but there were certain positive outcomes of it. The branding of the opposition by calling it a Ground Zero Mosque, which was in fact intended all along to be a community center, just like the YMCA, open to membership to people of all faith communities or even none, was an unfortunate branding in terms of arousing negative sentiment towards us in America. But it served a very positive purpose in the Muslim world. The branding of a Ground Zero Mosque, supported by the Jewish mayor of what is deemed to be the largest Jewish city in the world, New York City, and supported by the President of the United States, really improved American stock value in the Muslim world. The fact that America, in spite of what happened about 9/11 and deeming it to be an attack by Islam against America, to be able to have the largeness of heart to have a Ground Zero Mosque struck people in the Muslim world as an act of American generosity. So it really played a very positive role, which was why navigating the issues of staying or leaving and how to craft a narrative moving forward was extremely challenging at that time.
Would it help if the community center was actually built at the site at which it was intended to be?
From the point of view of the perception in the Arab and Muslim world, yes, very much so.
Will it be?
I don't know. I don't have the funds yet. We need to raise a fair amount of money. Then there also, a desire has been expressed by some very dear friends of mine to have it a true multi-faith center, where in addition to having a prayer space for Muslims, have prayer space for Jews and prayer space for Christians, whether you call it a synagogue and a church, as well as a community center, which would require a much larger space, which would therefore mean that we'd have to move somewhere else. But if the narrative is controlled and shaped, and a true multi-faith center that demonstrates the effective cooperation between Muslims and members of other faith communities, working together to address the substantive issues which divide us, would be a very powerful statement to make. And that we in New York, American Muslims, American Jews, American Christians, American atheists, American agnostics, whatever, American Buddhists and Hindus, really showing the way for how the world wants to move forward, because we live in a world today where we're increasingly interlinked. We're interlinked not only by virtue of the media, but interlinked economically, interlinked in the way we think about issues even more and more the same today around the world.
We want to hear about those of you who've had difficulties talking across religious lines. Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And we'll start with Dalara. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, calling us from Boulder.
Yes, hi. You pronounced it correctly. My story is, I'm married to a Christian man, and we've been married for 3 years. We had quarrels and a lot of discussions about religion, and now both of us became very moderate. He's a very moderate Christian. I'm a very moderate Muslim. We have a baby, and we're happy. The problem is his family is very strong Christian, and this summer we're going to Montana to visit them, and I'm dreading it because I know that they will try to convert me into Christianity. They have no idea what Islam is. They never take time to figure out what that is, but they just push Christianity on me, which is really hurting. It hurts me a lot.
I wonder, Imam, if you have any advice for our caller.
Well, first of all, patience is always important, but also to explain to people that that we're not that different. The yes. Religion of Jesus, the religion of Muhammad, the religion of Moses is basically one and the same. To worship the one God and to love each other. These are the two commandments that that were mentioned both in Deuteronomy and I think in Leviticus. And when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said, to love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind. Maybe not that order. But and then the second commandment, which he said is equal to it, is to love your neighbor as yourself. And this is what it's about. It's about love. It's about a love that is transformative. It's about a love that is patient. It's about a love that that is willing to teach and to explain that we have far more in common than what differs us. And what differentiates us is very often language and terms and not substantive reality. And if we can stay and live in that space, we can transform other people.
Dalara, you were trying to get back in there?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I wish people could hear that. I noticed that a lot of people here try to look at differences, and they concentrate on differences so much that they make enemies out of each other. I wish we could try to see more in common than different.
Thanks very much for the phone call. I think amen is what we can say to that.
Indeed.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Let's go to the microphone here at the Hotel Jerome.
My name is Melanie Dobson Hughes, and I'm a pastor ordained in the United Methodist Church, and I also agree that I worship and follow a God of love. However, I do want to say that in conversations of interreligious dialogue, a lot of times very well-meaning folk will say, well, we're all the same, and we all worship from the same source. Yet I think that obscures important particularities that are within religions and obscures the potential for real dialogue. So I wanted to ask, how do you talk about specific particularities while at the same time honoring people's traditions?
By doing just that. But the real work, the way I see it, is to have coalitions among people who are different, coalitions of Christians and Muslims and Jews and Buddhists and Hindus, teaming together around the issues that have divided us. Because the real divide is not between Islam and America or Islam and Christianity and so forth, but the real divide is between the extremists of all faith traditions against the moderates of all faith traditions. Therefore, we moderates who believe in a God of love, who believe in the principles of respect and respecting differences, have to team up together and develop strategic and tactical plays in the field, as I call it, to address those particular issues which divide us. And this has been the defining aspect of my work over the last 10 years. I founded an initiative called the Cordoba Initiative to do just that. And what made us survive in the last year was the friendships and coalitions that we had built with people in the Christian leaders, Jewish leaders. Those who came to my defense against Abe Foxman when he said I should move was Rabbi Owen Kula, who comes to Aspen a lot, and Brad, his colleague and partner, Rabbi Brad Hirschfeld. So it is these relationships with the mayor's office, with our political leaders, around the issues which we have to cooperate together to effect positive change. So that is where I believe the work that will provide the healing will come. And of course, we do not believe that there are no differences between Muslims or Jews, just as there are differences among different Christian sects and Muslim opinions of Shia and Sunni and so forth. But these variations are wonderful. The Prophet said in a very important hadith, a saying of his, that differences of opinion in my community are a rahmah, are a mercy, are a compassion from God. Unfortunately, we behave as if these differences are not a compassion. And in the process, by trying to close differences, we are being actually discompassionate.
Thanks very much for the question. We're talking with Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf about interfaith dialogue. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And we have this email from Richard in Houston. While there is a lot of talk about bridging the faiths, I haven't seen any effort at all toward any toleration for my beliefs. I'm a member of one of the last groups who can be legally discriminated against, an atheist who has never seen any evidence for any gods, yet I have to pretend to have some faith. Otherwise, I lose my job and get ostracized by my community.
No, I think that certainly the principle of religious freedom is a cardinal principle. And the Quran is quite specific on that, that there shall be no compulsion in religion. There shall be no compulsion in faith. And when I include moderates, I'm of all faiths, including those who are atheists, because there are moderate atheists and there are extremist atheists. The Soviet communists were an example of extremist atheists who brooked no different belief set. The whole idea of what defines America, and our nation was founded on a principle of religious freedom. But what it means is belief freedom, the freedom to believe whatever you want to believe, and to protect that right, and to structure a society in such a way that those differences of belief are not corrosive to the harmony within society. And that's the challenge which society has had, and even our American society has been challenged by these differences, whether the differences is in the matter of the nature of God, or whether you should allow people to have abortions and when. I mean, these things have been very divisive to societies, and every society has its set of divisive questions. But that's the challenge that we have, and certainly atheists have a right to their belief, although I question your principle that there's no evidence for the existence of God. I believe otherwise very strongly. But that's certainly a matter of your own conscience.
You cited some words from the Quran are very compassionate towards people of other face. There are others in the Quran which are not so compassionate, as there are, we mentioned Leviticus earlier, and there are parts of Leviticus that people would not find very compassionate today either. How do you present the moderate views that are in those passages and deal with those who say, wait a minute, it's all the word of God?
Well, I mean, God speaks to us through the Quran, and God very, very clearly condemns ideas which he disagrees with. However, God at the same time allows us to practice what we do believe. And if you look at the practices of the earliest Muslims, and by, you know, of the practices of Muslims throughout the centuries until a century ago, we always protected the rights of other people to believe. In fact, this was the many Christians and Jews and Muslims that also do not seem to have forgotten or don't even know that it was Muslims who brought Jews back into Jerusalem. It was the Caliph Umar al-Khattab, the second Caliph, who upon the conquering of Jerusalem in 638 of the Common Era, invited 70 Jewish families to take up residence in Jerusalem after they had been banished by the Romans in 70 AD. And when Jews and Orthodox Christians and Muslims were massacred in the First Crusade, it was when Saladin reconquered Jerusalem that Orthodox and Jews came back to live in Jerusalem. And throughout our political regimes until the end of the Ottoman Caliphate a century ago, all different religious interpretations existed and were protected by those regimes. There's a difference between what we do to people and the rejection of a particular wrong belief.
Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, the founder of the Cordoba Initiative, with us here at the Aspen Ideas Festival. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thanks as well to everybody who joined us here at the Hotel Jerome. Our special thanks to Jennifer Myers, Kitty Boone, Britta Stevenson, Tariq Risk, and Jim Spiegelman at the Aspen Institute. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Aspen.